You'll turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, we'll be looking at that verse here together in just a moment. Appreciate everyone's presence. Appreciate everyone being here and the eagerness that you have to learn more about God, to worship God, to recognize our Savior in the remembrance of His death. You may come across the opportunity to talk to someone and they may say this, "My church has a steeple." What do they mean by the word church in that statement? My church has a steeple. Or maybe you talk to someone else and they say this, "My church ruled that we can eat meat on Friday." Now what does the word church mean in that statement? How is that different? The first time I think it's kind of obvious, it means a building. My church has a steeple. It means it's a building that it's referred to. The second time talking about the officialdom or the clergy making a rule, a ruling body of the church. You may say, "My church glorifies Christ as Redeemer." Now, what does it mean? Now, what does that word church mean? If by that they mean the plan of salvation whereby people are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, God's plan of redemptive work, might be talking about the body of saved people in that particular statement. Or we may talk of it this way. The Methodist Church. What does the word church mean then in that particular statement? It's not talking about a building, not talking about officialdom, not talking about clergy, not talking about the whole body of saved people. If I use the word church in that way, it'd be talking about a denomination comprised of Methodist churches that are adhering to Methodist beliefs and faith. If on the other hand we say the Church of Christ in Mansfield, now what do we mean by the word church? We might mean in that sense a congregation of people that have banded together to fellowship together to work and worship together. And that may be how we mean that word in that particular sentence. If this morning in the course of the sermon and the study together I say to you, "You need to behave in church." I can see you're a rowdy group, so I may need to say that. You need to behave in church. If I say it that way, what do I mean by the word church? We'd be talking about the assembly then, wouldn't we? And maybe you might have something of this that someone might say, "I'm considering church as a career." Now, it means something else yet again. And they're not talking about in and of itself a building. They're talking about a clerical or clergy profession, as it were. So you can see through all these examples, and I know there's quite a few in that there are a lot of different definitions for the word church. And you say, "Well, Corey, where'd you come up with all those?" Webster's. That's the list of definitions for the word church. If you go look in Webster's Collegiate Dictionary, 11th edition. That's it, right there in order of what the word church means. Well, you might say, "Well, that's not the right way to use church." Well, that might be true in a sense, but it depends on what you're using as your standard for defining the word church and defining what church is. And if you're just defining it based upon how we use the word, that's what a Webster's dictionary does. It just defines how we use the word church. And as I went through all those definitions, you probably thought to yourself, "Yeah, I've heard or maybe even have used the word church in one of those ways." But if that's not the right way to use it, it not necessarily incorrect in any of those, if we use the definitions from Webster's as our guide. You're in 1 Peter chapter 4 there. Now I invite you to read with me verse 11. It says, "Whoever speaks as one who is speaking the utterances of God." The utterances of God, or in the New King James Version, it says the oracles of God. Simply saying that the one who speaks needs to speak in such a way as to the oracles or the utterances of God. The standard then by which we use our words does not necessarily need to be whatever Webster's defines it as. But yet by what the standard is of our Bible and the utterances or the oracles of God, if we're going to use the grace of God that's been given us to do what we need to do, we need to be careful when we speak. We need to be careful when we talk about things, and we need to be careful in understanding the words of which we say. We sometimes hear us say this. We sometimes hear preachers say and write in such a manner. So are those statements clear Which one of those is right? What's the correct definition? There are clear concepts in the New Testament that are used for the word church. And it may not be the thought that you necessarily have. They correctly represent the concept of this word, not necessarily Webster's, if we will but use it in the way that the New Testament uses it. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 with me. We use the word in different ways, and that's what we've talked about thus far. It does not mean, just because the word is used that way, that that's the way the oracles or the utterances of God uses that word. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is a passage in which Paul was warning about apostasy that was threatening these people, and he tells them a way that they can avoid being taken away by this apostasy. Look in verse 15. It says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by letter from us." So here he's talking about something in specifics, and he's talking about you hold fast to what you've been taught. You hold fast to the traditions. We might call this apostolic tradition. The apostles' doctrine, we might call it that. Whether they were told to them or whether it was written down in a letter, he says, you hold fast to this. This ought to be our guide as well, that we say what was written, what was confirmed. The apostasy may not be the apostasy that we're threatened with, that these folks were, but we're going to be faced with apostasy. And one of the ways that we can guard against that is to do the very thing here that he tells these brethren in Thessalonica. In the 19th and 20th century, there was apostate relative to the church. And you're probably familiar with it. Concepts of what the church is, concepts of what the church can do. And as a result of that, in the 20th century, many churches of Christ divided and ended up in different odds with each other. And now there's places that say Church of Christ on the sign. Yet what happens inside of that building and what is taught and practiced isn't found in the New Testament. It's a shame to say, but it's the truth. It's a very subtle thing, apostasy. It kind of starts small and then it grows. And here is an admonition to us. If we want to avoid being taken into the path of apostasy, then we ought to be on guard, as it is been spoken here in 2 Thessalonians 2, as it's been spoken of in 1 Peter chapter 4. We need to hold to apostolic teaching. We need to use the language then that the apostolic teaching and the word accords what was set forth in the church. So we're going to explore that this morning. Just a very simple question that I want to answer with you. I mean, it'll probably take me two sermons, just heads up. But we're going to try to answer this question. What is the church? What is it? How do we define it? What is it according to the New Testament? That's what we want to use as our guide. Let's just start with the word itself. The Holy Spirit chose a word that in our English language is commonly called a collective noun. It uses a collective noun, and the collective noun is a name of a group or another term that is considered a unit. Collective nouns are a number of things that we view together as a unit. If you want to collect students, for example, and you want to view students as one collective, we might use the word class. Class would be the collective noun in that sense. If you want to use the word army, what have you collected when you say the word army? In your mind, you've collected soldiers, haven't you? Individual in nature, but when we put them together, they're collected and viewed in a common relationship with one another as a unit. A flock may collect birds. We get the idea of what a collective noun is. A number of collective nouns that we frequently use in our language that we're familiar with. The word church is that kind of word. It's in that family of words. Like a chain is that kind of word. And you might say, what's a chain made of? You might answer, links. It's a bunch of links in a chain. And yet, they have to be put together to make that. If I were to hold in my hand a link, just one link, would I have a chain? No, I'd have a link. I don't have a collective of links that are put together in that sense. It doesn't make a chain. If I brought you to my house, and I took you outside, and I said, look at my herd, and I've got one cow out there. You say, well, you don't have a herd. You've got a cow. You say, we can't have that in that sense. And so just by the very nature of the word and what we're seeing here, it doesn't refer to a herd because I just have one cow, and that's true of all collective nouns. Same is true to the word church. It's a good principle for us to learn about church. People will say the church is not the building, and it isn't in the way that the New Testament uses the word. People will say that the church is made up of Christians, and that's correct, but one Christian is not necessarily the church. And that's an important pattern for us as well. It's the very nature of the word as a collective noun. Turn over with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. When we just explore the uses of the word church in our New Testament, we'll see this principle played out. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 12 says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." Remember this concept here, a chain isn't one link, a herd isn't one cow, but many. What's he talking about here in this text? Look at verse 14. "For the body is not one member, but many." It's comprised of folks. It's comprised of people. Look down in verse 28. "But God has appointed to the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues." There's all these things that are making up this that he's talking about. They're making up these spiritual gifts that he's talking about. And one person has one gift and one has another. All work in harmony together in the body. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22 and 23, another verse that shows this idea of the body working together. He says in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22, "He put all things in subjection under His feet and gave Him His head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all." The body is not just one member. He uses the analogy of the body in talking about the church and what the church is. Just like the body is not one member, the church is not just one Christian. I tell you, there's a lot of writings about this. There's a lot of things you can go out and read, a lot of articles and books and things about this as to whether one Christian is a church. And if I understand what church means, there's some that write those sort of things that are incorrect in my understanding. If someone asks, "What are you religiously?" And if you answer, "I'm a church of Christ," are you? Think about that. Now just think about the ramifications of that. Is that correct? Does it portray the fact that we understand what the word church means in our New Testaments? If we say that word, I just want you to think about it. I'm not going to delve into that particular question. But just on what we've studied thus far, is that necessarily a true statement? We say the word church is a collective noun, and collective nouns must collect things. And I want you to turn over to Acts chapter 7, because you're going to see this principle start to be played out in the book of Acts. We've talked about the word herd and flock and class and those kinds. But let's look at the word church in the New Testament and see what the word church collects, because it is a collective noun. In Acts chapter 7 and verse 38, says, "This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness together with the angel who was speaking to him on Mount Sinai, and who was with our fathers, and he received living oracles to pass on to you." The King James Version, if you're looking at the King James Version, talks about the church there for congregation at the beginning of that verse where it says, "This is the one who was in the congregation." It puts the word church there. As you read through this context, as you read just that verse, was this a collection of Christians? No, not a collection of Christians in this particular verse. It was a collection of Israelites. Here's Israelites be referred to as a congregation. King James Version, it translates it church. So you see here, the word just represents a body of people. Here, specifically in the context, refers to Israelites. And you may have a definition, a working definition in your mind when we started this lesson about what the word church truly means. And this may have just completely messed that up for you. Because here he's talking about just a group of people. What does church mean? Well, what kind of group of people does it collect? Well, just the word church itself doesn't say. just using the word church doesn't tell you the type of people that are being collected in the New Testament. It's just a word that they would use to talk about a collection of people. In this case, in Acts chapter 7, verse 38, it would be Israelites. If you're in the New American Standard and you have a reference edition there, if you look over at the reference, it says, it's got a little GR, stands for the Greek, and then it says the word ekklesia that's there. Now, if you've ever studied the church before, you know what the word ekklesia translates to. It translates to church, doesn't it? Time and time again, I've heard sermons after sermons about the ekklesia, the church. Guess what? That's the word that's here. The literal Greek translation, the original Greek word that's there is ekklesia. It's translated for congregation, and it's talking about a group of Israelites. Now, that doesn't make or lose my point of what I'm saying here, but it's certainly of something of interest when you start studying words and what they mean. What does the church mean? The word that Luke would write in the book of Acts was that little word that's over there in the margin. And the reason I point that out is because the other passages that we're going to look at, that we're about to take off looking at, he's going to use the same word. He's going to use that same ekklesia. That's the collective noun. When we think of church, we may think of Christian religion. We may think of what we've got going on right here. We may think of all these different things. But in the original Greek that's written, when they heard the word church, they recognize it simply as a body of people. They recognize it simply as a group. Not religious in its sense necessarily. It just collects people. It doesn't always collect Christians. Look over in chapter 19 of Acts. You'll see an example of what I'm talking about. Acts chapter 19. Let's look at verse 32 together. Acts 19 and verse 32. It says, "So then, some were shouting one thing and some another, for the assembly was in confusion, and the majority did not know for what reason they had come together." Now, the word ekklesia is in this verse as well. Maybe looking for it, it's what it's translated to. Here it's translated to assembly. The assembly was in confusion. Now, as you read through this context, what you're going to find out is the assembly that was in confusion was not a group of people that was coming together to worship together. It wasn't a group of Christians in that sense. We would refer to this as a mob. These people were stirred up and mad because they were seeing the profit of their sales of idols being lost because this miracle had been performed and they had gotten rid of this evil spirit. And they were upset. Look at the end of that verse. You can see a little bit about what type of people these were. The end of that verse, it says they were confused. The majority didn't know for what reason they'd come together. Boy, this describes so many riots and mobs that we can think of. Most people that are in a riot mob, they go, "We're upset. What about? I don't know." That's what you've got going on here. Most of the people there didn't even know why they were upset. It's just a riot and a mob. But you know what the word is that was used there? Was this is a church of people. This is a church in the true sense of the word ekklesia. You look at the New American Standard over on the side again, if you've got that, and you've got that reference, there it has it again. Ekklesia, number one, Greek. That's the word that was there. Not translated congregation, not translated church, but the same collective noun that we've been talking about this morning. This time it doesn't collect Israelites. It collects a riot or a mob. Look down in verse 39. We're going to find the word there again. It says, "But if you want anything beyond this, it shall be settled in the lawful assembly." So they go through this group of people that's so upset, and they bring it before some folks, and they kind of start to put this little riot down. And they say, "If there's anything more that needs to be handled from this, you take it to the lawful church." That's what he writes. You could translate it that way if you wanted to. "You take it to the lawful congregation." What are they collecting here? Well, we might call this a town council. City council meeting. You got something else you got to say beyond this? You need to go take it before that church. It's not a religious word here either, is it? Not a religious word at all. Surely we can see this in just these couple of examples that the true word ecclesia doesn't necessarily describe a religious group of people. Just describes a group of people. Now, how can we know what kind of group of people it was? Well, we're going to have to look at the context, aren't we? And that's what we're doing this morning. We're looking at and deriving that from the context. When you said the word church to these people back then, they didn't think, let me go get my Bible. They didn't necessarily think, we're going to go worship. Now, we use the word church that way, but in the New Testament times, it's not necessarily. They might have said, what kind of group of people are we talking about? What's this group forming for? Where are we headed? They didn't know why just by using the word church. They didn't know why they were assembled. Verse 32 clearly says that. We have this town council in verse 39. Just a group of citizens in this lawful assembly that are gathered together and they're discussing the affairs of the town. They're just discussing that. That's the kind of church that you read about in chapter 19 and verse 39. Now, I recognize that those are two outliers as you read through your New Testament. But they make the point for us as to how the word's used, and they make the point for us to understand that it may be a little bit different than we view it today in 2017. And that's truly the point for us as we seek to serve God according to His will. Look back in chapter 2 of the book of Acts. We've looked at three different examples so far of the word church just here in the book of Acts. And every time that we've looked at it so far, it's collected people. Every time it's been a group of people that it's been collecting. That's no different here either. In chapter 2 and verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. If you read into the New King James, he says, they are added to the church daily those who were being saved. So the New American Standard translates that word number. There's ecclesia. Found its way again. So this time, is it talking about a religious group of people? It is. It's talking about a group of people. And in this case, you have those that have done what Peter was preaching about just a little bit before there. They followed through with that. Those examples we've looked at so far always collect people. But the majority of the time, and about the 115 times that this word is found in your Bibles, this is the way that it is put in the text. This is a group of people who were saved through faith in what Peter had preached in response to their baptism. You see that up in verse 41. It says, so then those who had received His word were baptized, and that day they were added about 3,000 souls. What were they added to? They were added to their number. They were added to the church, as it were, down in verse 47. So here are people, just the same as there's been all along during our study together so far this morning. Here's a group of people, and they've been saved by faith. They've confessed their faith, and in the waters of baptism, He added them to their number. What's a word that we can use to describe all these people? Well, it's the word church. It's a good collective noun for this use as well. That's the way that the word is most often used in the New Testament. Let's look at another example of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If we want a word that collects all baptized believers, that word is church. It's the collective noun for that. And it's one of the definitions in Webster's, but it's not the only one that's listed there. But it is the one that's listed here in your Bibles, if you will. Look in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. Let's look at verse 2. It says, to the church of God which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling, with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. So here, it's the same concept as Acts chapter 2. Philip went to Samaria in Acts chapter 8. Preached the gospel. People did what they did in Acts chapter 2. They believed and were baptized. Same thing happening. They added to the number. They're part of the church. Same thing in Antioch. Same thing in Assyria. Same thing in Samaria. all these places where the gospel was preached. But here's something different about this church here. This one is specific to a location, isn't it? It says here, the church of God which is at Corinth. So this use of the word church as a group of people wouldn't include the people that were in Jerusalem. It wouldn't include the people that were over in Antioch. It wouldn't include the people that were in Samaria. This church is identified with a locality. We use a phrase for that. You can't find the phrase in the New Testament, but boy, we've coined it. We call it the local church. You see the principle here. The phrase may not be there, but the principle of it certainly is. A group of people, still a group of people, but these are sanctified in Christ Jesus. They're called to be saints. It's the church at Corinth. You had a number of Christians, or saints in Corinth. They met together, they worked together, they worshiped together. So what's a word that collects saints? Not over all the world, not on a basis that they're simply saved, but that they were saved in Christ and they worship at Corinth. That word again is church. It's the definition here, once again, that we find in our New Testament. A more limited use of the word, but still looking at fellowship with one another. Every time the word church is used in the Bible, it is used to collect people. So the rest of our study, we've got a few minutes. I want to look at a couple other things because I don't want to give you too much time back. The rest of our study, let's just look at some things that they have in common. Some things that it works together. And this will get us ready for our lesson next Sunday as well. A link is not a chain. And here's the proof. If I get a barrel up here and I put 1,000 links in it and I say, do I have a chain? You would say no, because you've just got a bunch of links. In order to have a chain, I've got to have something specific with those links. If I've just got a bunch of links, all I've got is a bunch of loops. That's it. But in order for those links to become a chain, they actually have to be put together throughout and actually linked together in order to form that chain. If I've just got 1,000 loose laying links, I don't have a chain yet. I've got to put them together. Chains, we're talking about, are more than one link, but it's not just that. They're also interconnected and are working. Now, that's just making the example of how a collective noun truly works. A herd is not one cow, and that's correct, but if I go see 100 cows, let's say I go somewhere and I see 100 cows in a field, they may or may not be a herd. They may be a herd in the sense they share the same pasture. But if I base it upon ownership, there may be 3 or 4 folks that own cows that are out there in that field. That may be one person's herd, that may be another person's herd, another person's. Or maybe I could base it upon their breeds. Maybe that there's some Angus. I got an Angus herd out there, Hereford herd, Brahman herd. Getting a little agricultural for you here. So we can see that it would be a difference based upon how I define them, based upon their characteristics. What we're doing without even thinking about it is we're comparing things and we're grouping things based on common connect. And that's very important as we look at the word church in the New Testament as well. Look over with me in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. We'll look beginning in verse 15. Matthew chapter 18 and in verse 15 says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Observe. He won't listen to you, or he will listen to you, whatever it might be. In verse 15, here he is a Christian. He's acted. He's gone and talked to his brother. If a brother sins against his sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Here is a Christian that has done something. They've gone and they've talked to their brother. He's acted. But has the church acted? Not in the context, has it? Church hasn't acted here in the context just yet, because you see a little later that Jesus says, go and tell it to the church. If one Christian is a church, and if one Christian doing something is a church, doing something, then the man's already heard the church. In verse 15, can you keep up with all those uses of church in that? If it simply is that way, he's already heard the church at that point. But Jesus says that's not the case. I know what it is. I figured it out. If you have more than one Christian, if you got more than one Christian, then you've got a church doing something. But that doesn't fit here either, does it? Look at verse 16. If he doesn't listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every fact may be confirmed. And yet still, if he doesn't listen to them, then go tell it to the church. But hang on, we just had three or four folks that were talking to him. Three or four Christians that were just talking to the man. Yet the church hadn't acted yet, Jesus said. Something different there. He tells him to go do it to the church. If just a plurality of Christians makes a church, then he's already heard the church in verse 16. But he hasn't. An important principle for us, it's not the case that the Lord explained the terminology. He's finally tell it to the church. Three phrases here. Verse 15, he says, if he listens to you. Verse 16, if he listens to them. Verse 17, he listens even to the church. Can you see here in this principle that there's a difference between one Christian doing something? There's a difference between a group of Christians doing something. And there's even a difference between the church doing something in all three of those examples. Whether you can explain that difference or not, we're going to try to next Sunday morning. Whether you can explain that difference or not, at least this, there's a clear difference between them. So, here's your quiz. End of our lesson. True or false? You got a 50-50 chance to get it right. True or false? Anytime you have two or more Christians, you have a local church. Careful how you answer that question. Because there are times when it can be true. There are times when it can be false. But what makes it is the any time. Just think of the ramifications of that. Think of it like this. Y'all may be getting hungry. So several of us decide, we're going to go out to eat together. Oh, now we got three or four Christians that went out to eat together. Now the church is going out to eat. You see the ramifications of it? You see how it begins to change? Because of how we define the word? We say, well, it wasn't one Christian, it must be a group of Christians. But now a group of Christians is doing something. They're going out to eat. Now the church is going out to eat. We have to be careful how we use the word to be sure we're using the word in the way that the New Testament did. Just because you have more than one Christian, just because you have more than one Christian doing something, even they could be doing the same thing, doesn't necessarily mean that you have a church or that you have a church acting. Just remember, they're collective noun groups on the basis of something they have in common. And that distinguishes the uses in the New Testament. Hopefully a fruitful Bible study for you together this morning. I appreciate so much your attention together. We'll talk a little bit more about it next Sunday and distinguish between when we have the church doing something compared to when we just have a group of people doing something. We have a song selected this morning. We're going to utilize this song as a means of encouragement to you. If your life is not right with God, or you simply need the prayers of this good group, I recommend this group to you. If we can help you in your service to God, please let us know as we stand together and as we sing.